Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I do want to talk a little bit about what we saw down at Augusta today. Phenomenal scoring in round three at the Masters. Never before have they had three guys shoot 64, which is exactly what happened today. That slacker Molinari only shot a 66. Good enough to give him a two-stroke lead at minus 13. Here to put perspective on what's transpired as far as the scores go to this point is a guy who comments for us on Golf Here on CBS Sports Radio. Also does so for GolfWRX.com. Michael Williams joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. How many Masters have you seen?
Let's see, like every single one of them on television since I was a little kid. I've been to two personally. And if you are a golf fan, you really need to go to see that golf course. Find a way, save up some money, get yourself down there, because it's the only way to appreciate just how special that golf course is. I always say it's the original DNA of American golf courses. And once you get down there, you'll see exactly why. You'll have even a greater appreciation for it, not only the event, just the absolute level of skill of these players that are putting up these phenomenal scores under these conditions.
Certainly a bucket list item for anyone who considers themselves a pretty good golf fan. I am in complete agree with you on that. I'm a golf fan, but I'm not a golf guru. It seemed to me like today was one of the best scoring days I'd ever seen. And I, like you, watch the Masters every single year and been watching it for 40-plus years. I don't remember scores ever being this low. Individuals, yes. But across the board, there were like a handful of guys out of the field of 50-plus that were left that shot over par today. Everybody was in red digits. How does this compare to the best scoring days ever at Augusta?
Well, let me give you some perspective on that. In the history of the tournament, going back to 1934, there have been, up until this year, there were a total of two players who had shot a 64 on Saturday. Two. Since 1934 overall. And today, this Saturday, we had three in one day. Did that get it done for you? Did that put your arms around it? You know, how good of a scoring day this was. And, again, you had 66s out there. You just had the field just going for pins. And with the conditions there, I was there earlier in the week. So I was there on Wednesday for the practice day, Thursday for the competitive round. You had heavy rains during the beginning of the week, which have really softened this course. And even though they have those millions of dollars worth of sub-air vacuums that are just sucking water out of the greens, they're still soft. It's warm down there. And I was telling someone, it's like walking around the course, it's like being in a giant steam table at a buffet. It's very soft. So the conditions are somewhat easier than you would normally see. Putts are slower than they usually are, aren't breaking as much. Approach shots are sticking where they would normally hit and roll over. So that accounts for what the scoring is. But still, take nothing away from the skill of these players and their nerve to be able to go pin-seeking in a tournament at this level.
Agreed. The condition lent to the great scoring, but you still got to make the shots. And Certainly they did, including Francisco Molinari, who sits atop. Like I said, slacker, only shot at 66 today. Been there, done that, already a major champion. Pressure being in the final group with Tiger Woods, who you know everybody's going to be following and probably cheering for. No knock on either Mr. Molinari and or Tony Finau, but Tiger's Tiger. Is he up to the pressurized task he will have defending his two-stroke lead going into the final tomorrow?
I think he's especially suited to it. If you watched him play at Carnoustie, I think the two hardest golf courses in the world are Oakmont in Pittsburgh and Carnoustie. I've played them both, and Carnoustie wins hands down. It's the hardest golf course in the world. He went through four rounds of that tournament without making a bogey. It's one of the most phenomenal accomplishments and least talked about, you know, in my mind, most underrated of all time. Now, through three rounds, he has one bogey in this tournament. It's insane the way the guy is playing, and his method is to stay in the middle of the course and not make mistakes. Perfectly suited for a guy like this who, in a championship type of round, in this sort of high-stakes atmosphere, He's not a risk taker. He's a shot maker. He's going to, I believe, put on a display of ball striking like we saw in Carnoustie, and I think he's going to be right in it. But there's that thing about playing in a final round with Tiger. He will be in the final group, the threesomes with Tiger, and that Tiger gallery is a gallery like no other. It's a circus that's following him around. So it's the additional pressure of playing with Tiger Woods in that final round. We'll see if he can handle that, but I think he's especially suited to it. If he does win, he'll be the first reigning Open champion to win a Masters since, wait for it, Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I saw that one coming. That's a good line. You're right. Tiger's the following is off the charts. Never been seen anything like it before, and maybe never again. Does it raise Tiger's game? It's been a long time since Tiger has been in this position, final group of a major. Does he still draw that same thing? It may be more so. What do you think those following Tiger, cheering for Tiger, giving him extra added incentive, do for him tomorrow?
Look, I mean, anybody who's not within five shots of the league lead, if they're not rooting for themselves, they're rooting for Tiger. I mean, this is the most phenomenal story. I mean, this guy, 20 months ago, he was flat on his back, and I was hoping that he would be able to get up and play soccer with his kids. And now he's going into the Sunday of the Masters with a chance to win. I don't know who – well, I actually do know. The doctor that did his back surgery. This guy should get the Nobel Prize. And if anything happens to me, I want that guy working on me because it is just phenomenal what he's accomplishing right now. I think that he is mentally – this is his sweet spot. This is what he's born to do, is to get into this championship, be in this position to win. He's never come from behind – to win a major. All 14 majors have been either with the lead or tied for the lead. So if he comes from behind, it'll be the first. And if it is the first, oh my God, what a story it will be.
Mike Williams of golfwrx.com comments on golf for us here on CBS Sports Radio as well. You know by now, and I've mentioned it six or seven times since I came on a couple hours ago, the rescheduling of round number four tomorrow. They're moving everything up because they're supposed to get massive thunderstorms in the afternoon tomorrow. So the first guys will tee off at 7:30 in threesomes, with them believing the leaders will get off somewhere around 9 o'clock, probably a little after, but not long after 9 o'clock. They play till late in the afternoon, if not early evening today. It's a very quick turnaround, and you have to do that from time to time in golf. Advantage for any of the players, major disadvantage for any of the players, because they've decided to try and schedule it this way to make sure they get it in before all heck breaks loose weather-wise?
Yeah, that's a really great question. You know, it for the player who is accustomed to routine and doesn't like to break routine and likes to do the afternoon when they're in the lead to have that time to mentally prepare and make their long warm up, whatever, it's going to be a problem. For the guy who doesn't sleep that night anyway, when he's close to the lead and is going to wake up at 3 o'clock and not be able to sleep because he's tossing and turning, thinking about it, I think a 9:20, if you're in the leaders, being able to tee off somewhere between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock is a blessing because you don't have to think about it. You don't have all that time to wonder what if and play the round 17 times in your mind. I think for Tiger, not a problem. He was talking after the round. He says, well, you know, with this routine, I'll just change my routine. I'm going to get up at 3:30 in the morning, do what I normally do, and it'll just be a sliding scale, and he's going to go out and play his golf. But I think it really depends on the player on whether that's an advantage or not, and there's no way to tell for sure except till they get out there teed up and hit it.
You mentioned the great win that Molinari got last year in the Open. Oh, by the way, a guy who's won a couple of majors over the last year and changed, Brooks Koepka, yes, gave up the lead today, started with the lead, and now he's sitting in fourth place. But he doesn't have to play in that last group. He's going to be in the next to last group. And, yes, we know he can do it on the biggest of big stages. He hasn't done it at Augusta yet, but he's won three out of the last six majors. How much of a shot do you give Koepka tomorrow?
I give him a great shot. I mean, he's certainly got the puncher's chance. He's in a great position to do it. Look, if that course gets soft, but we still, even though we're having the early start, we're looking at the forecast of showers in the early morning, which will soften up the course even more. Soft course means it plays even longer. And if there's anybody in the field who can afford to give up 10 or 15 yards worth of distance on the roll, it's Brooks Koepka, because he's still longer than almost virtually everybody else out there. And he's another guy who has ice water in his veins somehow or as he says, nothing in his head. And really, I'm not insulting him. He said that, not me. He goes out and he tries to say, I'm not thinking about anything. I don't want to feel anything. I just want to go play golf and hit golf shots. So if that guy gets on a roll, if he gets hot, if he gets comfortable, he's the type of guy who can go out and put up another 64, you know, that will stand up. And I don't think there's a 64 out there necessarily with the course being soft again. But if there is a guy out there who can get one, Brooks is certainly in that handful of guys who can do that on a Sunday.
Were you surprised at the decision to reschedule the way that they did? It's the Masters Committee, I'm sure, in conjunction with CBS, who's broadcast. But we know that the Masters have more control over their tournament than any other tournament. They dictate sponsorship and everything else. So I'm sure this was the Masters' decision. They seemed like they wanted no part of going into Monday. Were you surprised that they decided to try and squeeze it in as early as they are?
No, I wasn't surprised. They've done early Sunday tee times before. They've done split tees before. This is the first time that they've done early start, threesomes, and split tees. That, all of that has never happened before. But you can chalk it up to the new head of the Masters, the guy who's the chairman of the Masters, the guy named Fred Ridley, who was a former head of the USGA, and he is as much as you can have in a sport that's so bound by tradition as golf. He's a visionary. It's Fred Ridley's idea to have the women amateurs come and play at Augusta. It's this guy who's interested in things like drive, chip, and putt and growing the game. So where other leaders may have said, well, we're not doing that because we've never done it, that's not going to hold back a guy like Fred Ridley, who has said in his statement that we're most concerned about the safety of the patrons and the players. I'm sure that factored into it, but also the safety of being able to put a green jacket on someone on Sunday. That's something he's very concerned with, too. And he's not going to let mere tradition keep him from getting this thing accomplished if he possibly can. So hats off to him for getting it done. And I think it's great. I'm going to be in front of the TV. Big omelet, Bloody Mary, you're invited. come watch with me. It's going to be awesome to get this done in the morning. It'll be like watching the British Open. Do the same thing for British Open. Why not for the Masters?
Exactly. It's actually a little later than for the British Open because of the five-hour time difference. But how much of a hit do you think CBS takes in a morning tee-off with Tiger on the prowl right there in the final group as compared if they could have taken him into late Sunday afternoon, early Sunday evening?
Honestly, I think that the 9 o'clock church services will take a bigger hit than the Masters will. I think that people take, because Tiger's in the lead. If you had Tiger in a tie for 15th, I think that there would be an issue. You got Tiger threatening to win this thing, okay? This is the draw. He is the planet. He's the straw that stirs the drink. Any metaphor you want to use, that is Tiger. So anybody who's interested in golf will be watching. People who don't care anything about golf will be watching because everybody who's a sports fan cares about Tiger and wants to see this. This will be history. So it's a chance to see history. It's appointment viewing. Got to see it.
Yeah, I think the ones who take the hit are Meet the Press, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and there you go.
The Nation will be put in the rearview mirror because they'll get a bigger number with Tiger than they do you with Face the Nation. Great stuff, Michael. Thanks for coming on board. Appreciate it. Enjoy the final round tomorrow.
My pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
My pleasure. Michael Williams from WRX.com and comments for us here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.